Greet you all this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Thank you all for the inspiration thus far this morning. Thank you for those devotional thoughts. I was especially touched how that the Sunday school lesson this morning laid the foundation for what I was thinking. Most of this week, I was thinking about, well, one of the things I thought about was a positive message. So many times we turn and we talk about all the evil things and all the things that went wrong and all the things that, and I was thinking about something we could bring that's a positive. So the title of the message today is 12 habits a person will have that has the Holy Spirit, or actions that come out of our life because of the Holy Spirit within us. So we talked about in Sunday school that Nicodemus came to Jesus and he was looking for a way to go. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of a new spirit. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We think about the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, God in you. I think the last time I preached here, I preached about walking with Jesus. Walking with the Son, walking with Jesus, and what that does for us. We do not become, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we do not become gods, but we have God comes dwelling in us. I believe that we readily believe and we understand who God is. God is our central worship point. He also is controller, the creator of the whole world. And then we talked about last time about walking with Jesus. And today, I'd like to talk about what happens to me and to you, to people, when they start walking with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit within them. And by no means, when I started looking at this, by no means is there any way that I can touch all the points this morning? But I just want to generate some thought, some ideas. And I want to look at, and you can open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 35. And look at the first mention of the incoming indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we go to Exodus 35:29. And it says there, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bethzeel, the son of Uriah, the son of Aiel, the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So the first thing I see here is that he was, people brought a willing offering. Obedience. In verse 29, he talks about the people obeyed and brought a willing offering. So I'd be the first thing that happens when we receive the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to receive the Holy Spirit, we're going to need to be obedient and willing to do what God calls us to do. God won't send his Spirit until we talked about this morning. Nicodemus came there seeking for the Spirit, seeking for to be born again. And I believe when man comes looking for the Holy Spirit, comes to God searching for the Holy Spirit in obedience, then he can receive the Holy Spirit. First part of receiving is obedience, I believe. And if we go into Luke 1:41, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in 42, it was because, well, let's look at that. It's in Luke. Luke 1:41. Luke 1:41, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we go on to 4:1, if we go on to Luke 4:1, it says, I'm just looking at briefly at happenings when they received the Holy Ghost. There was a leaping in Elizabeth's womb, and in 4:1, Luke 4:1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we see here that when the Spirit enters into a man, something happens. There's going to be a change. There's going to be an action. It says that people that are full of the Holy Spirit, they were going to be led by that Spirit. There's going to be actions coming out of their being because of that Spirit that's dwelling within them. So I don't believe man can hide. I don't believe man can hide the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to. There's going to be results come from the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John. John chapter 20. A couple of verses I want to look at. John 20, starting at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side, and were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As many as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So we see this is before Pentecost. One of the points I wanted to make here is the Holy Spirit did not come into the picture first on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was already back in Exodus. We saw the Holy Spirit. And again, we see him here at John. So the Holy Spirit, these people had walked with Jesus the last 3 years. They knew Jesus. They knew who he was. And he says here, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes unto us by the breathing or the blessing from God. And in verse 23, whosoever sins ye shall remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. He gave them power. When Jesus breathed on them, the Holy Spirit, he gave them power, authority to forgive sins through the through the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's look a little bit at Acts chapter 7, a couple pages back, before we get into the rest of the message. Acts 7:51. Looking at times that the Holy Spirit was given. Acts 7:51. And Peter says here, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." So he says here, they're resisting. And in verse 55 and 56, he says, "But he being full of that," this is talking about Stephen. I'm sorry, I said Peter, Stephen. Stephen says, as he preached, he said to the Jews, "Ye are stiff-necked, people that won't hear, that resist the Holy Spirit." And then he says on in 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So we see here in Stephen's story there was two things that I'd like to point out. First of all, the Jews have resisted the Holy Spirit. And second of all, when Stephen received the Holy Spirit, then he had power. And in verse 66, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin on their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It was by the power of receiving the Holy Spirit that Stephen had the abilities to preach the gospel, to give his life on behalf of his preaching. So I believe what we have today, we have a choice today. We can either resist the Holy Spirit or we can accept it. And when God breathes out his Holy Spirit on us, I don't care where it is, when God finally breathes out his Holy Spirit, whether you be down in your tent, or whether it be out working, or wherever you be, when God finally breathes out his Holy Spirit on you, there'll be a change. And you can either resist or you can accept. And my prayer is today, that when God breathes out his Holy Spirit, that we open our hearts and we accept. But it will make a change in your life. Now I'm going to talk about 12 changes. That will happen in our lives. That habits or actions that will come out of our life when we receive the Holy Spirit. The first one is we will be rejoicing in hard times. And that's what Stephen did here. He finally rejoiced and he laid down his life in hard times. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're talking about rejoicing in hard times. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to rejoice even though things don't go the way way we'd like for them to be. James 1:2-3. "My brethren, for First he says, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Whenever things aren't quite the way you'd like them to be joyful anyway. Know this, that trying of your faith worketh patience. He's saying here we need to be thankful for the battle that we've been allowed into. Hard times are to help us to grow in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Stephen there in Acts 7 gave his life because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was willing to give his life in difficulty because he had within him the Holy Spirit. The second one is love your enemies. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will love your enemies. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 5:41. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will love your enemies. Matthew 5:41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thy enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If you're compelled, if you love your enemies, they compel you to take their burden, carry their burden, do it. If your Holy Spirit is within you, you'll be willing to serve. He that asks thee, turn not away. Love your neighbor. But the hallmark, I believe the hallmark of the witness that the Holy Spirit dwells in man is this verse 44. It says to love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the biggest witness that we can do that the Holy Spirit is living within us. It's contrary to the nature of man. I really don't believe that the nature of man can truly perform this unless the Holy Spirit is within him. Truly love your enemy is only, I believe, by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The other one that I see, point three, complete love for God. Matthew 22:36-37. He says, Jesus said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Finally, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, then our whole world will revolve around loving God. Let's just turn over here to John, two verses in John on this point. I have a lot of scripture verses here, and if you don't care to, you don't have to turn to them. pretty much on every point, I have a couple verses that point us to this complete loving God. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Complete loving God, we do always those things that please God. And that's a challenge for me. It seems like I have a lot of things that Glenn would love to do. But he's saying here, if we're still filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have this complete love for God. God will be number one in our world, number one in our life, number one in our thought pattern. Fourth point, selfless service to God and others. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with, Paul says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, as Christ gave himself all for me, selfless service, fully surrendered. He said, Paul says, I myself am crucified with Christ, but Christ liveth in me. Because Christ gave himself for me. Spirit-filled Christianity is not about me, but it's about service for Christ. If the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is within me, it's going to be about serving others. Just total differentness from self-focusedness. And I've been dwelling on, we had some conversation here the last couple weeks about individualism. And finally, we live in a world today, if we look back from World War II on and women's living, And we go on into the thought, finally, that each person is an individual, and he can do whatever he wants. Transgenderism, divorce and remarriage, you buy into all those. And finally, our culture, our society has been teaching us that we are individuals and we are in need of being individualistic. That's not what God teaches. God teaches his selfless service to others. It's not about me at all. Point five, boldness to preach the gospel. Let's go to Acts. There's a couple verses in Acts. About boldness, the Holy Spirit within us will give us boldness to preach the gospel. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is Jesus speaking. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Boldness to preach out when the Holy Spirit is within us. boldest to us to speak out. I mean, it's a daily part of our walk of life. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and gave and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the Holy Spirit enters into men and women, beloved, they will boldly speak out on behalf of Christ. Their words, their speaking will change. The Spirit within them will give us words to speak. In verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And in verse 17, he says, and my Spirit shall be available to all men. One of the things that I thought about here just now is that earlier we were talking about in Exodus that the Spirit was given because of obedience, willingness to obedience. And then later on we were talking about the Spirit was given, it was breathed out, literally given. And now here it's telling us that the Spirit is poured out. Finally, God doesn't have any parameters, or he doesn't have any boundaries of how the Spirit comes to us. First off, obedience. The Spirit was given. Second off, it was breathed onto us liberally. And third off, he's saying here, it's poured out on us. But finally, the Spirit is available to all men. And finally, he says here in verse 21, let's look at another point. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's multiple and different ways, I'm saying, that this Holy Spirit is available to us. So one of the points there is that finally God's not confined to any laws of his own other than the fact that when that Spirit finally enters into us, we will be changed people. No matter how that Spirit becomes part of us, we're going to be changed. We're going to be a new person. Number 6, passion for the things of God. I believe if we have a passion for the things of God, we will study the Bible. If you want a real passion for the things of God, start studying your Bible. Just open your Bible and read it. And you will generate within your heart a passion for it. If you're going to sit around here and wait for a passion to read the Bible, it's not going to happen. Start reading first, and then the passion will come. Trust me, I know, I understand, I've done it. It won't work. Finally, we read the Bible and then the passion grows onto us. We receive the Holy Spirit. We start loving what God loves and we start hating what God hates. Let's look at a couple verses in Colossians. Colossians 3:22, he says, servants, obey all things. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Pertains to this, what I was talking about. Finally, if you're going to have a passion for the word, you're going to need to read the word. Point seven, growth in knowledge of the things of God. There will be a growth. If we have the Spirit within us, there will be a growth in the knowledge of things of God. People who have the Holy Spirit within them will desire to know God. Take a look at your Bible. Study. And I'm saying, study because God requires it? No. Study because you want to know who God is. If you set apart a half an hour today or an hour today or a half a day or a whole day to study the Bible, and you study it because God requires it, you're going to miss the point. The point is, study it because I personally want to know who God is. Point eight is, they are led by the Spirit of God. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit will be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And this to me, and I probably overread this and overemphasized it in my ministry, but finally, this is so dear to me, Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. He'll make you a changed person. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, you mortify your deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit dwelling within us will cause change in our life. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Point is that we need to be led. No, if we have this Holy Spirit within us, we will be led by it. It will lead us. I believe if we're not being led by the Spirit, then we truly don't have the Spirit. Talking about 12 habits of the person with the Holy Spirit, number 9, it says they forgive easily. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they forgive easily. Let's look at Luke 23. Well, in Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is when Jesus was hanging there on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, Jesus is saying, I will bear all the pain. Jesus willingly bore all the pain on the cross. And he says, let them go free. Let me and you go free. He bore on the cross for us. What I was really wanting to turn to was Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter's talking about his brother, his brethren, my brothers, how oft shall I forgive my brother? He's not talking about the sinners or the heathens or whoever else. He's talking about his brother. How oft shall I forgive my brother that sins against me? How oft shall I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. I believe we should not count. In Romans 15:1, he says, we that have the Holy Spirit within us, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Point is that if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we will forgive easily. Unconditional forgiveness, immediate. It's done. Tenth point is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians, and I thank you, Marvin, for that opening idea this morning of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just going to read that. People that have the Spirit within them will bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. There will be a showing forth, there will be a manifestation, what spirit that we are of. Start at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. I don't believe that the spirit of the Holy Spirit is within us when there's a biting and devouring and a fighting, disagreements. He says here, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. If this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, he says, if you be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I see here two spirits at work. Either the Holy Spirit has filled us up and we're bearing forth fruit, or then we're bearing forth sin. It's pretty black and white. We talked this morning in Sunday school about black and white a little bit. Finally, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then he says on here in verse 24, and they that are Christ's, this is what I said, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh. They have crucified all these desires, these evil desires, with affections and the lust. They've got rid of all that. And I want to tell you, beloved, there's no way to get rid of that except you fill with the Holy Spirit and move that out. It's got to be moved out. The Holy Spirit can move in. But they won't dwell together in the same heart. Because if the Holy Spirit is moved in and the evil spirit's moved out, then the fruit of the Spirit will bring forth. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And as I thought of this, two spirits at odds with each other, I went over to Linden's to the yard to work the other morning, and I got there and there was four dogs in the yard. Now I recognized the one dog immediately. She was the dog that I had encountered with 2 years ago at Koenig's at the house, where she just about ate me. Yeah, at any rate. But when I got to the yard, these four dogs, and now I'm very fearful because I've had an encounter with this evil spirit. Let's call it an evil spirit that dwell within this dog before. Okay, so I'm encountering an evil spirit that I've encountered before. And I called Lynn and I said, Oh, I said, she's a wimp. She'll back down. And I said, oh, yeah. He don't know how afraid I was. He said, just don't tell her to get lost. And that is what we need to do to this spirit that dwelleth within us, this idolatry, this witchcraft, this emulations, whatever it be. We need to get rid of them. Tell them to get lost. Well, so I opened the door just a little bit, and she again tried to get in my door. I mean, they were all four barking. So I rolled down the window a little bit, and I told her, now you get out of here. And she shriveled down. And when I opened the door, and I banged the side door, and I said, get lost. And she went around behind it, and they all four curled up underneath the equipment that was back there looking out. This is the spirit we're talking about. This spirit, this devil, he's a coward. Because the Holy Spirit will, Christ has the power. Through God, we have the power to denounce Satan. Get out of here. And he'll leave. But about 5 minutes later, they were coming out, approaching me closer. And they're going to make another attempt, right? They're going to at least see if I'm serious about denouncing them, right? And that's how Satan works. He will approach us again, half an hour, a day or two later, and he'll sneak up on us. And I kicked the side of the car and I said, get! And they left faster than ever. And they went outside and they curled up behind the dumpster. But for that day, they're done with me. And that's the encounter we need to, this bearing the fruit of the Spirit. If we can somehow get the Holy Spirit within our hearts and denounce, we have to make an obvious denouncement of that evil spirit. He will not leave voluntarily on his own. We need to denounce that evil spirit. But he is a coward. He cannot stand up against the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have the power. He'll show himself as strong, but in reality, he's not. Compared to the Holy Spirit. Manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, we're running out of time. 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He addresses chapter 12 in Corinthians to the church, to the brethren. And he says, some of you are carried away, but he said, I, verse 3 says, but no man can say, Lord, Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. And finally, he goes on in there in 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, and he gives us the spirits, and you're all familiar with that. The Spirit worketh in different ways, but it always manifests itself. It always shows itself forth. And if we go into verse 31, of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, the greatest show of the Holy Spirit is the love chapter. Chapter 13, he says, you will love your brethren, love the world, love. The greatest showing forth of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the love of the brotherhood. A life of gratefulness. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Finally, there'll be a life of gratefulness if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. 2 Corinthians, Paul says to in 3:17, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We know that Christ is Lord in our hearts. We can be changed into new creation. So hopefully you can gather a little inspiration from that. 12 things that Holy Spirit people, 12 things that Holy Spirit people will do. Number one, they will rejoice in hard times. Number two, they will love. They will have a love for their enemies. They will have a, number three, complete love for God. Number four, selfless service to God and others. Five, boldness to preach the gospel. Six, passion for the things of God. Seven, growth in the knowledge of the things of God. Number eight, they are led by the Spirit of God. Number nine, they forgive easily, quick to forgive. 10, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Number 11, there will be manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There will be a showing forth of the gifts, and I say go to 1 Corinthians 12 and look at those gifts. Number 12, there will be a life of gratefulness. Finally, if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, there will be a life of gratefulness, a life of thankfulness. But finally, we cannot get it on our own. We have to ask God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those he breathes out, to those he gives out, to those that are obedient. He pours out. There's many ways that God delivers unto us the Holy Spirit. But we personally can't go get it. God needs to give it to us. And I just pray that we would call on God and he would send us daily daily His Holy Spirit to guide our lives. Let's kneel for prayer.